Today we're going to be hearing from God's Word in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And while you guys turn there, I'll say that Peter's writing here to Christians who are suffering. And he calls them elect exiles in the world. People who are elect, they're known by God, but they're exiles. They're separated from their ultimate home and their ultimate inheritance. And as such, they're experiencing the hardships that go along with being misfits and outcasts and exiles. And so what message of hope does Peter bring them in light of their suffering? What word of encouragement does he give to them? Peter opens up this letter with a call to praise God for the unshakable hope of the gospel. So if you have your Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll read God's word together, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this word and we thank you for this hope, God, that it is good, that it is sure, God, that it is found in you alone. Lord, our hope is built on nothing less. Father, we pray that as we read your word this morning, God, that you would encourage us and teach us. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, what is it that we hope for? Hope is one of those words that we kind of toss around in such a way that we sort of grow numb to what it truly means. We say things like, I really hope dinner is ready when I come home. I hope this Greek exam doesn't kill me, or I hope that Travis doesn't say something embarrassing about me in the introduction today. And sometimes we talk about our hopes and our dreams for the future, things that we wish would happen, things that we have planned for our lives. We talk with one another and lay out the hopes that we have. Well, today what I want to show you in our brief time together is that the Christian hope, the unshakable hope of the gospel, is so much better than any of these things. Christian, our hope is the promise of life together with God, free from sin and death, living in fellowship with the Trinity forever. And this is so much bigger than our present circumstances, and it's so sure and so certain that our present circumstances cannot shake it. I'm also going to go ahead and just break all the rules that we were taught in preaching lab, and I'm going to go ahead and give you the application up front. Sometimes the most simple application of a passage like this is simply to praise God. And I hope that as we consider the great hope of the gospel this morning, that our hearts would be moved to thanksgiving and gratitude so that God is praised. So that's where we're going today. I want to spend some time walking through this passage. And what we'll see is that Peter gives us three reasons to praise God for the unshakable hope of the gospel. We praise God because our hope is alive. We praise God because our hope is perfect, and we praise God because our hope is secure. Well, the first thing that we see about our hope is that it is a living hope. We praise God because our hope is alive, and we see this here in verse 3. Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our application, praise God. Why? According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, what does it mean for us to have a living hope? Christian, we have been given new birth. Literally, we were caused to be born again. This new birth is gospel regeneration. It's new life through the Spirit, something that God does in us. And in our new birth, I think we often speak of being born again as something that we're saved from. That's true. But in our new birth, we're also saved to something. We're saved to a living hope. And Peter is reminding us right out of the gate that our living hope is the living Christ. Peter makes this connection here in verse 3. We're born again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The hope of the gospel is alive because Jesus is alive. It's no dead word. It's no dead promise, but it's alive. Why? Because our God is alive. If there's no resurrection, friend, there's no hope. It's because of this that Paul can say, if Christ Jesus is not raised from the dead, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. You have no hope. If Christ Jesus is not living, your hope is not living. How crucially important is the resurrection for sinners like you and like me? The resurrection of Jesus is no small thing. It's no minor point of historical controversy that academics and scholars argue about. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, really and truly, as presented in the pages of Scripture, is the only hope for sinners like you and like me. And what this also means is that every hope outside of the living Christ is a dead hope. And that's not a popular thing to say these days. Every religion that's absent of the living Christ is a dead hope. Atheism has no living Savior. It's hopelessness by definition. Right? Islam has no living Savior. It's hopelessness. The founders of Mormonism, of Buddhism, of Hinduism are all still dead in their graves, but we praise God that Jesus lives and that our hope lives with Him today. And if you've been born again by the mercy of God, you have this hope today. Do you consider what a privilege it is to have living hope? This is the only hope that can sustain us in times of trial and persecution. And the sad truth is that millions of our friends and our neighbors and our family live without hope today, trusting in these dead religions, trusting in themselves, and not trusting in a living Christ. Are we taking hope to them? Are we praying to God that He would be merciful to them as He's been merciful to us, that He would cause them to be born again as He's caused us to be born again? And so we praise God that Jesus lives and our hope lives with Him. That's the first reason. The second reason that Peter gives us that we praise God for our hope is that our hope is not only alive, but it's also perfect. We have a perfect hope. If you ever want to describe the Christian hope, this passage gives us a great explanation. Peter rattles off a list of descriptors here, calling it an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It's an inheritance. And again, we're thinking back to this language of new birth. When we're born into an inheritance. But what is it that we were inheriting in our first birth? If we look all the way down here to verse 18, Peter tells us at least part of what we were inheriting. He writes that we were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from our forefathers. No, that's not good. Right? In our first natural birth, we inherit futility. That's what we were saved from, futility. But in our new birth, by the mercy of God, we're saved to and we inherit a perfect hope. In the Old Testament, God promised Israel an inheritance of land. Right? This was a land where they would be richly blessed by God. It was to be a place where Israel would be kept safe from their enemies, where the name of God would dwell, where the people of Israel would live happily. But what do we know about this inheritance? Was this inheritance, was this piece of land, the final resting place for God's people? No. This inheritance wasn't perfect. This plot of land, it could grow weeds. Right? Many of the Israelites didn't even make it by their own unfaithfulness. And the author of Hebrews would tell us that this physical inheritance, it anticipated and it foreshadowed the perfect inheritance that we are to receive as the children of God. One that can't grow weeds. One that doesn't bear the effects of sin any longer. A place for the people of God to dwell together in full enjoyment of the Trinity forever. And while Israel's inheritance was subject to death and decay, Peter tells us that our inheritance is perfect. It's imperishable. Right? It'll never die. It's undefiled. It's pure and holy. And it's unfading. When I was born, my father bought me a complete set of baseball cards. Right? Every player from the year that I was born in a packaged wrapped box that he set up on the top shelf of my closet. And I was grateful for this inheritance, but it was also torture for me because I knew that I couldn't open it. I wanted so badly just to open up this set of baseball cards and just see what was in the box, but you can't do that because the moment that you open up a complete set, the box loses its value. And as you can imagine, I held out as long as I could. But eventually the temptation was too much to bear. I went to the top shelf of the closet and I opened the box. And I sorted my dirty hands over every single card. And the moment that I did that, the box lost every single bit of value that it ever had. See, my inheritance was not perfect. I could reach out with my hands and defile it. Right? If my wife ever got a hold of it, she would probably just throw it away. Aren't we glad our inheritance is not like this? Our hope, our inheritance is perfect. We can't reach out with our hands and defile this. We can't throw it away. Our inheritance is perfect, pure, and clean, and it's unfading. I love this. Right? You know, if I'm being honest, the second that I opened this box of cards, I really lost interest in it. But the beauty of our perfect hope is that the more we get of it, the more we will delight in it. We will never grow tired of life together with our God. This is a perfect hope. Is this your hope? Is this your hope? A simple way to evaluate this is to think of whatever it is that you're hoping for and hold it up to the hope of this passage. Right? If whatever it is that you're hoping for can grow weeds, it's not the hope of the gospel. If whatever it is that you're hoping for can be ruined or defiled, if it can perish or fade, that's not the hope of the gospel. But we praise God because we have been born again to a hope that is unshakable and perfect. So we praise God because our hope is alive, and we praise God because our hope is perfect. The last thing that Peter tells us about our hope is that we're to praise God because our hope is secure. The end of verse 4 says that this hope is kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We've already seen that any earthly hope, any hope of man is subject to be lost, to be stolen, to be destroyed. But the hope of the gospel is secure because God himself guards it. This had to have been a great comfort for these suffering Christians to hear. Brother or sister, whatever you've been through, whatever you've lost here, you can live your life through any circumstance with confidence, knowing that at the end of your life, your hope will be there waiting for you in heaven because God himself guards it. I'm from Georgia. I support all the pro Atlanta sports teams. Go Hawks. We got a game tonight. And it's a little bit weird for me to be up here in North Carolina where almost everybody is a Panthers fan. Right? And it just goes with the territory, it seems like. If you're going to be a Panthers fan, you have to have some sort of weird crush on Luke Kuechly. Everybody loves this guy. All right, if you don't know who Luke Kuechly is, he's a linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. I'll even admit he's one of the best linebackers in the NFL. If you don't know him from the football games, you probably at least know him from the commercials that he does for CPI Home Security. Right, and these commercials, if you've seen them, are absolutely ridiculous. And then Luke, he wears his game day jersey. He just hangs out at your house waiting for his chance to tackle anybody that would come in and try to take your stuff. Right? I imagine these marketing geniuses at CPI Security sitting around a boardroom table saying, how can we communicate to our customers that their stuff is going to be safe? Luke Kuechly. Right? Nothing could be more secure than having Luke Kuechly sitting in your living room, guarding your home. But there is something more secure, isn't there? Christian, your inheritance is secure because God himself guards it. Now, I know that's hard for Panthers fans to imagine. This is even more secure than if Luke Kuechly himself were guarding it. Nothing could be more certain than this. There's no safer place for your hope than in the hands of God. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's great. It's good, I guess, that my hope is perfect and living. Good that it's guarded by heaven, by God in heaven. What good is that for me when I'm separated from it here on earth? I'm here, I'm suffering, and I don't know if I'll ever reach it. Look with me to verse 5. Peter tells these suffering Christians that we can be confident that we will reach our inheritance because not only does God guard our inheritance, he also guards his inheritance. Not only does God protect and keep our inheritance safe and secure, he also protects and keeps his inheritance safe and secure through faith. Christian, I don't know why, and I can say for certain that it's not because we deserve it, but God has made us a people for his own inheritance. And our hope is that God himself would make us living, that he would make us perfect, that he would make us imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And if you doubt for a second that you will reach your inheritance, remember the certainty that nothing will keep God from reaching his inheritance. He will bring us to himself, and he guards us here while we wait through faith. If you're in the middle of suffering, I don't want to make that seem small. Right? I understand that suffering is very, very real. But what I do want to say to you today, and what I think this passage is saying to us, is don't let the temporary concerns of your life here and now take your eyes off of the greatness of your hope in the gospel. That is something that our circumstances here and now cannot shake and cannot take from us. And my pastor was telling me about an interaction that he had with one of his friends a few years ago. He said that he was spelling out his hopes and his dreams for the next 3 years. Right? His dreams and his hopes, what he wanted to happen for his life and his family and his church. And his friend listened carefully. And when my pastor was finished, he just replied, "Brother, in 3 years, I hope Jesus has returned." Our greatest hope, the unshakable hope of the gospel, is a promise of living, perfect, and guarded life together with God in Christ. That when Christ returns, we would be found in him. There's nothing like it. And if this is your hope, I pray that it is. Praise God. Let's pray together. God, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you that by your mercy we have been born again. God, that we've been saved from sin and death, and we've been saved to a hope that is so good. Lord, we pray this with gratitude in our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.